Beloved, as we close out the year in God's house this evening, I want to begin with an important question to reflect on the past year. Where did you find security? Where did you find rest for yourself? For your body and soul, where is the place that you could be completely vulnerable, where you could find rest and just relax? I trust that the answer to that question tonight is in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship that is pictured in marriage and family. That's what we see in our text this evening, as we follow Ruth, a widow from Moab, a Gentile. The covenant of marriage, as it's set forth and sought in Ruth chapter 3, provides a place of security and rest. A place to be completely vulnerable, a place to be yourself in a healthy marriage. That's true, isn't it? It's largely lost today. The breakdown of this important relationship leads to insecurity in the world, insecurity in family, insecurity in children. Marriage is really the relationship where security is to be found. Designed by God, intended by God to give security on a human level to men, women, and children. It's lost in our day. It was certainly lost in the days of the judges as well. Gross immorality, harsh conditions in terms of society. Israel is marked by spiritual adultery. There's a breakdown of marriage. There's a breakdown of the relationship with God. The breakdown of marriage is simply a symptom of the breakdown of a relationship with God. Where a relationship with God is breaking down, marriage will also break down inevitably. A devaluing of that relationship. Because we do not see it as God sees it. And yet, there's a light that is shining brightly as Boaz and Ruth are being brought together in the providence of God into this covenant of marriage. That's what we see unfolding in the pages of Scripture here this evening. Marriage for Ruth was a place of security, as God intended for it to be for widows and children. But there's more to this than just marriage on a human relationship, on the horizontal level. There's a marriage that takes place, isn't there, between a believer and Christ. That's the pattern, as it were, the blueprint upon which human marriage is based. So often we think it's the reverse. But the spiritual marriage with Christ is really the pattern, it's the blueprint for our marriages to be lived out. And so we see here this blueprint being put into motion, and marriage being built up, reflecting that of Christ and the believer. We see that in Ephesians 5, don't we? Where Paul speaks of this mystery, of this relationship between Christ and his bride. And so we see this pattern being worked out between Boaz and Ruth, the beginnings of it. And so we are reminded that security is not ultimately found in a human marriage. Security is ultimately found in a marriage with Christ, spiritual marriage, union with Christ, as we speak of it theologically. That's the foundation for life. That's the foundation for security. That's where our soul can find rest in Christ. And so as we come to the end of the year, it's fitting, isn't it, to assess where we are in that relationship with Christ, whether we have a relationship with Christ in the first place, whether we are in union with Him. And if we're not in union with Him, to find life in Him. when we are in union with Him, to continue living out of that relationship with Him as that place of security and rest for our souls. And so as these themes are unfolded in our text in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, our theme is this: rest under the Redeemer's wings. Rest under the Redeemer's wings. First of all, this rest is sought in Naomi's instruction to Ruth. Secondly, it's sought in Ruth's obedience. And thirdly, it's sought in Ruth's proposal or request. As we followed Naomi and Ruth from the land of Moab, from the country of Moab, we saw them come to Bethlehem. We saw and heard Naomi's words of hopelessness. God's providence was entirely against her. She was complaining that the Almighty was against her. Everything was against her. There's no hope. It was all dark, and yet they entered into Bethlehem at the time of barley harvest. And there's a glimmer of hope as Boaz is introduced into the story. A man who could possibly redeem them. And as we heard in the last sermon on Ruth 2, verse 18 through 23, we find Naomi's heart being changed, didn't we? Changed by the revelation of the kindness of the Lord, the covenant faithfulness of God, as she heard of Boaz, as she heard of his generosity, as she heard of his heart towards Ruth. There was this spark, as it were, that reignited, this spark of faith. Faith is rekindled as she hears of the kindness of the Lord in giving them food, in giving them the possibility of redemption. Verse 20 of chapter 2, we hear Naomi's words: "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." She praises the Lord for what he has done for these two widows as they enter into the land of Israel, back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Now Naomi is being further changed as she instructs Ruth to go to Boaz. As she addresses Ruth's needs, she asks Ruth a question that reveals her intentions for Ruth and that also reveals her heart that has been changed. Verse 1 of chapter 3. "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee?" We could phrase that in another way. "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" At the heart of Naomi's concern is this concern for rest, for security in a husband. And so we see how God is continuing to work in the heart of Naomi, in the life of Naomi, not just changing her perspective of God's providence, but now to recognize her own role in that providence, where she is in a sense playing matchmaker. And yet that it's much greater than that, isn't it? Her bitterness of heart, her inward-looking heart, gives way to seeking the good of her family as she recognizes the Lord's kindness that has led them to Bethlehem, that has led them straight into the fields of Boaz, straight into the hands of God's provision. But we see here in this question, is Naomi's backsliding heart beginning to function again in faith? For those of you who have heard the sermons on Ruth, you remember what Ruth said in Ruth 1 verse 9, what she told Ruth to do. Listen to these words. She tells Ruth to return to Moab. "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." She's saying your prospects for rest and security in a marriage relationship are not in Israel. Just go back to Moab, go find a husband there, and you will have hope of an heir, hope of a future, to carry on the family name. You see, Ruth, or rather Naomi, thought that rest could only be found in Moab for Ruth and Orpah. And now she says this in chapter 3, verse 1, "Shall I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you. You hear the change. No longer go back to Moab. But shall I not seek rest and security for you, that it may be well with you? Her past words are adjusted to present reality and the hope of redemption for herself and for Ruth. This marriage for Ruth, this prospect of hope, is not found in Moab at all. She had nearly sent Ruth back to Moab, almost forced her back to Moab in her bitterness, and now God has changed her perspective. And now she was set to work in securing this rest and security for Ruth, not from among the people of Moab now, but from the covenant people of God. It is God who is behind this. It is God who has changed her heart to see this. It is God who is using Naomi as an instrument to bring Ruth and Boaz together. It's amazing, isn't it, to see how God has worked in her heart so she begins to grasp what God is doing. We saw that in verse 20 as she praises God. Blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. She praises God for not leaving off his covenant faithfulness, his chesed, as we heard back then. The Lord's kindness has kept Ruth with Naomi. The Lord's kindness has given them hope. The Lord's kindness is bringing Ruth and Naomi, or Ruth and Boaz, together. It's the Lord's kindness that Ruth is with her now, and she takes up the responsibility, as it were, to find rest and security for Ruth. Then she takes that question. Shall I not find rest for you? And she gives clear instructions now for Ruth to follow in securing this rest in verse 2. And that was not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Is another question. But with a focused direction to get Ruth thinking. Boaz is one of our kindred, isn't he? We saw the introduction of the word Goel, or the Hebrew word Goel, for a redeemer, a nearer kinsman, one who was qualified to redeem Ruth and Naomi. He's one of our kindred, isn't he? He's one of those who's perfectly qualified to redeem us. He's from the clan of Elimelech, as we saw in Ruth 2, verse 1 through 3. He's that mighty man of wealth, a man of integrity spiritually and morally. He's a godly man. Naomi here is actively seeking the redemption that is to be found in Boaz. Her faith is active. Boaz has shown tremendous kindness and generosity to Ruth. If we put it in modern language, Naomi would be saying to Ruth, "Ruth, you know, this man Boaz, he's our only hope. He really is. You know, he's the qualified rest giver. He's the one that can provide that security that you and I need, the security of redemption, the security of marriage, security of an heir, the hope of the Messiah." Let's pause here tonight for a moment and consider the implications of the change of Naomi's backslidden condition. Before, she claimed that the Lord's hand had gone out against her. He had dealt very bitterly with her. And now she recognizes that the only hope of security, of rest, and redemption lies with Boaz, to whom God has providentially led them. And is this not the normal way in which God heals his backsliding people? Maybe you're here this evening, you're looking back on 2023, you're wrestling with God's providence in your life. Backslidden, perhaps even bitter towards God. Challenging God like Naomi did. These words tonight are written to help you, to encourage you to a better view of God's providence and how it serves redemption. Because when God works through severe mercy, this is where He brings backsliders, this is where He brings sinners, this is where He brings each one of us this evening to consider that our only hope of rest as we close out this year is found in the greater Boaz, in Christ Himself. Is He not the nearer kinsman? Is He not perfectly qualified to give us and to grant us that rest tonight for our souls, for our bodies? For the totality of our human existence, He stands as the Redeemer, as the Goel this evening. The man of integrity, the man of perfect obedience, the man of moral integrity, the God-man. He alone can provide rest and hope of redemption in marriage with Him. That's where it's at. Here is the cure for a backslidden soul. Here is the cure for a bitter soul. Here is the cure for a restless soul tonight. And this question of Naomi is not Boaz of our kindred. Is not the greater Boaz of our kindred. Is He not perfectly suited to be our Redeemer, to be our rest? Did He not say when He ministered on earth, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, Jesus is the great rest giver, the greater Boaz. He alone can give you what you need tonight as you close out the year to transform your heart of restlessness, of bitterness, to see Him in His beauty and His suitability. Well, Naomi continues her instruction to Ruth in verses 2 and 3. "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee. Get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Back then it was common knowledge that the owners of the fields would sleep on the threshing floor, guarding their grain from thieves. There was a time when the enemy would come down from the hills into the land of Israel and destroy, to steal everything that the Israelites had harvested. We see that cycle, don't we, in the book of Judges, the time in which this took place. And so the owners of the fields would sleep on the threshing floor to guard their grain. Naomi operates with this common knowledge and then tells Ruth to get herself ready. Most commentators see this as Naomi telling Ruth to take off her garments of mourning. Ruth is a widow. She'd been married to Mahlon. Mahlon had died in the country of Moab. Now Ruth is telling her to take off her garments of mourning for her husband. She's to put on garments that indicate that she's no longer in mourning, that she's available for marriage, eligible. In one sense, it's a bold statement coming from this Gentile woman, this Moabitess, still a stranger to the wider culture of Israel. And so she's to wait until Boaz is done eating and drinking to make herself known to Boaz. And she's to do this privately. Naomi continues, "And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Ruth is to go in to uncover his feet, to lay down and wait for Boaz's instruction. Naomi's instruction prepares Ruth for finding that rest in marriage with Boaz. In a sense, we could say the words of Naomi are this: put off the garments of mourning, put on a submissive spirit at the feet of Boaz. This captures the essence of what Naomi is instructing Ruth to do. Instructions to meet the Redeemer. The words of faith that take hold of the one last hope that is presented to them in the land of Israel. "Approach him this way," Ruth, Naomi is saying. "He is our hope of redemption. This is the way to security. This is the way to rest." Isn't that true for us tonight as well? Same instruction The same essence comes to us in the preaching of the gospel. Put off the garments of mourning. Put on a submissive spirit at the feet of the greater Boaz. That's where life is found, in this marriage with Christ. Instruction to find rest and security in marriage with the Redeemer. Brother Tease mentioned at the beginning of the service that we've had over 100 opportunities of instruction to meet the Redeemer, to find rest and security in Him this past year. The question is, have we listened? Have we obeyed? Have we followed God's prescription for rest? Or did we try to find security in our own way? We hear lots of instruction, day by day, week by week. Children, there's a lesson in here for you as well tonight, isn't there? You get a lot of lessons from your mom and dad, from your teachers at school. They tell you where to find rest for your soul. You hear lessons from the pulpit every Sunday telling you where to find rest in Jesus. One more time tonight. One more time in this year we receive instruction. Not just from me, but from God's Word, to find rest and security for ourselves in Christ, in Jesus. But we follow those instructions. You see, sometimes it's not true of only children, it's true of older people as well. We want to find our own way, don't we? We think we know better. And where do we end up? Insecurity. When we follow our own heart, when we follow our own way, when we follow our own instruction, when we listen to other voices other than the voice of Christ through His Word. But here in this instruction tonight, put off the garments of mourning. Prepare yourself to meet your Redeemer, to meet your rest giver. Will we listen? Will we obey? Ruth did. That's what we see in our second thought. She sought rest by obeying. She fully concurs with Naomi's instruction. She responds with words of obedience. We could say with obedient faith. Listen to her words. In verse 5, "And she said unto her, and Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Ruth is humbly obedient to her mother-in-law, to the instruction she receives to find rest and security. She does not protest. She simply states that she will do it. All of it. She doesn't find problems with one point or another in Naomi's instruction. She'll do it all. What a lesson of faith this is, isn't it? Do you and I demonstrate such faith? We are urged to go and meet our Redeemer. Will you do all that He says to you to do? Are the words of your mouth evidence of where your heart is at the feet of the greater Boaz, finding rest and security there tonight? Changed and ready and willing to obey every word. Ruth is not selective in her obedience. Children, sometimes you do that, don't you? Your mom and dad will tell you, you'll empty the dishwasher, and you'll only do the top rack, or you only do the bottom rack, or your mom tells you to do the dishes and you'll do just the plates and the cups, but not the cutlery, not the forks and the knives and the spoons. That doing that is just too much, isn't it? But Ruth doesn't protest. She does it all. Her obedience is expressed in the fullest sense. All that you say, I will do. Beloved, if your only hope is in the kinsman is in Christ. Would you not express obedience to do what it takes to submit to Him, to sit at His feet, to receive that rest and security that you so desperately need day in and day out for your own soul, for your own protection? Well, you say, that obedience is out of my reach. I can't do it. Well, then I counter with a question. Isn't it more a matter of willingness then? Are you unwilling to obey? Are you maybe hiding behind the excuse that you can't obey? Isn't it that He draws sinners with His provision and protection? You see, Boaz has already been treating Ruth with tremendous kindness and generosity. Goodness. It's the goodness of Boaz that draws her now to submit to Naomi's instruction to lay at Boaz's feet. Isn't that drawing power then tonight of the greater Boaz able to draw you in obedience to give you what you need? In the words of the theologian from the early church, Augustine, he said, "Give, Lord, what you command, or command what you will, but give what you command." Recognizing that the command to come to Christ is real, but also that everything that we need proceeds from Christ as well. So it would be foolish to simply disobey, or to selectively obey, which is still disobedience at the heart of it. Or to hide behind excuses that we can't obey. Because when God gives a command, He also gives what we need to obey that command. When the gospel commands you tonight, will this be your statement of obedience, your confession? All that you say, I will do. Recognizing that your life hangs in the balance. That your hope is tied to Christ, to full obedience. What does wisdom say in Proverbs? "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." God doesn't want just a compartment of your heart tonight. He wants it all. That's what He's asking for tonight. The close of this year, will you give it to Him? Will you say with Ruth, "All that you say, I will do"? All of it. And then importantly, Ruth follows up her words of obedience with actions of obedience. Words of faith with actions of faith. In verse 6, she went down into the floor. She did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. She did it all. She follows the instructions to the letter. Her intent is followed through in action. The obedience of faith leads her to the threshing floor at night. Here comes this widow, no longer dressed in the garments of mourning, but dressed in clothing that indicates her availability for marriage. And this is not blind obedience, this is obedience that calculates the very cost of what she is doing. By coming to Boaz at midnight. By doing all of these things at midnight under the cover of darkness as a young woman. She could very well be opening up herself for scandal. It was common in those days as well for the harvesters to engage in immorality on the threshing floor at night. And if Boaz had pledged protection for her in the fields in broad daylight, how much more she needs this protection at night as she comes into the threshing floor. There's tremendous risk associated with what Ruth is doing here. The risk of being found out. The risk of scandal. The risk of rejection from Boaz. The risk of being a Moabite coming to an Israelite at night. And yet she obeys, knowing that Boaz is her only hope of redemption. So the question comes to us tonight as well. Will you follow through with the actions of obedience when the prospects of redemption are found alone in the greater Boaz? Maybe you're sitting on the fence tonight. You know what you need. And yet you're counting the cost. You're not willing to take the risk of following Jesus, of taking up your cross and following Him. You're not ready to leave father and mother and home and family and follow Christ. You're not willing to give it all up. Maybe you live with fear of rejection. How can Christ receive someone like me? If I come to Him, if I rest in Him, will He really receive me? The fear of scandal. Maybe someone knows your former reputation and they say, and you're worried that they're going to say, that person's coming to Christ? Is that really possible? Or fear that when you come to Christ for redemption, it's beyond the pale of acceptance. You're just too bad of a person. There's no hope for you. Risk. There is a risk attached, isn't there, to following Christ. But we see here that it's a risk worth taking. Because Christ, as the greater Boaz, will not let you down. He will perform redemption for you as it plays out in the rest of the book of Ruth. And then verse 7, we have the language of observation. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. We should not misunderstand these words. Boaz is not drunk. The word therefore merry has the connotation that he's enjoyed the fruit of his labors after a long, hard day of work. You know what that's like. You've worked hard all day and you put your feet up at the end of the day and you just sit back and you enjoy a good meal. You lay down on your bed. You embrace, as it were, the mattress and the sheets and the blankets and you lay down satisfied, ready to sleep. That's the picture here. He was happy, satisfied after a hard day of work, showing the goodness of labor in God's design. And so he lays down. Ruth comes privately, softly. She uncovers his feet and she lays herself down. She comes with an attitude of submissive, quiet obedience of faith. She doesn't draw attention to herself. Her focus is on Boaz and her desire for rest and security and marriage with him. The expression of all of her hope now is tied together in these actions. She lays down and waits for his response. What's it going to be? Well, here's another lesson of faith, isn't there? Faith, in one sense, is expressed publicly and corporately when young people make public profession of faith or a new member is added to the church from the outside. There's a public profession of faith. A being tied to the mast, as it were, in the Christian walk. A new member of the church received. But here we see it's also a private affair. One in which a sinner individually comes to find redemption in Christ, the greater Boaz. And so faith did not draw attention to a person, but is quietly focused on Christ, you see. It seeks rest in Christ, apart from others noticing or even knowing the deepest workings of the spirit and of the soul. It comes quietly and submissively and sits at the feet of Christ. It waits with anticipation to hear the response of the Savior, of the Redeemer, of the Goel, in His loving kindness. As you close out 2023, are you coming with such anticipation, with such quietness, with such focus on Christ alone as your hope of redemption and rest? For the first time, or again at the end of this year, sitting at the feet of the greater Boaz, are you ready to make your request? For the security, as we see in our third thought, as Ruth comes and seeks this security in her request. In verse 8, the intrigue of this relationship at midnight continues. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. There's shock in these words. There's fear in these words as we see them. As Boaz responds to this woman lying at his feet, what happened? What is happening? His fear reveals not just a sleep-induced fear. You know how that is. You wake up and you're trying to find your bearings. That's not what's happening here. But the very fear of scandal. Boaz sees her laying there and he responds with fear. You recall that Boaz was a man of integrity. Not a perfect man, but a man of integrity in his dealings with people. His own protection of Ruth in the field, his provision for her within the borders of his field indicates his gentle and pure intentions towards Ruth. He doesn't want to take advantage of her. He could have, but he didn't. He stands out as a man par excellence in the culture of his day. How many of our men, how many of us stand out in this way in our culture? With his integrity, not just sexual integrity, but integrity in all of life, seeking to protect the vulnerable, seeking to shelter our wives, our daughters, the strangers in our midst, the orphan. So his fear here is the fear of a woman being found at his feet and the scandal that it may bring. Scandal to Boaz and the scandal to Ruth. But there's something else to note in verse 8 that speaks to the future union between Boaz, and that's the use of the word man and woman. Doesn't use the names in verse 8, but it uses these common terms of man and woman. Some commentators argue that this speaks to the anonymity of Boaz and Ruth on the threshing floor. But the intentional use of these two words, apart from their names, brings us squarely back to creation and the first marriage between Adam and Eve. Genesis 2, verse 22 and 23. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And so the Hebrew words for man and woman in Genesis 2 are the same words used here in Ruth chapter 3. And I believe it's intentional. The fact they're used in this way is an echo of creation and what is about to take place in terms of marriage between the man and the woman. Indicating for us that this too is a divinely intended and heaven-ordained marriage between Ruth and Boaz, between the man and the woman. The hope of humanity is tied to this marriage. The hope for you and me tonight is tied to this marriage between Boaz and Ruth. And then we hear Boaz speak. Verse 9. And he said, who art thou? And she responds humbly, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. I'm your handmaid, Boaz. I'm subservient to you. I'm yours to do with. I'm wholly at your mercy in all of this. She doesn't have to say more. She does not presume, but her identification, her identity is filled with humility. Remind us, doesn't it, again, of the prodigal son. The story, which is an echo of this story. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. Ruth has that here, that language, the same language. I'm Ruth, your handmaid. I'm your servant, ready to do your bidding in this matter. Her response to Boaz lines up with her obedience to Naomi. She does not presume, nor does she hide her boldness. She She takes hold of Boaz's protection and security. She said, "Spread therefore thy skirts over thine handmaid." Why does she ask that? She recognizes that her only hope for redemption is in marriage with Boaz. Some commentators suggest that Ruth is doing something immoral here. There's going to be a physical union here. That's what she's suggesting. But if we take what all of Scripture says, there's nothing immoral going on here. There's nothing untoward going on here. She is pure in her intentions. We need to understand what she's doing here, her actions, in asking Boaz to spread his skirt, his garment over her, in light of what Boaz says in Ruth 2, verse 12. Go back to those words. "The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord, under whose wings thou art come to trust." What Ruth is doing here, she is requesting marriage. She's asking Boaz to spread his skirt over her. Literally, she's asking for his wings to be over her. What Boaz has confirmed for her spiritually in chapter 2, verse 12, she now asks for in terms of marriage. She's sheltered under the wings of God. She's in marriage with God. We saw that in her beautiful confession of verse 18 of chapter 1. "Your God, my God. Your people, my people. Your place, my place. Your prospects are my prospects." She's sheltering under the wings of the Almighty. And now she's asking to be sheltering under the wings of Boaz. She's not asking for mere clothing. She's asking for marriage, the stability, the security of this covenant, of this relationship of marriage. This is further buttressed with the language used by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, where the prophet says, in the words of God, "Now I passed by thee and looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. I spread my wings over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." The request for the spreading of the skirt, the spreading of the wings, was symbolic of the marriage command, of the marriage covenant and the protection of that covenant. What Ruth is asking here is bold. She's asking Boaz to become the instrument of God's redeeming love for her. What this marriage proposal points out in real life between Ruth and Boaz is a spiritual picture. It's the blueprint, really. What happens when we seek redemption in Christ, spiritual marriage with Him? We ask Him to spread His wings over us. There is no greater security than in the covenant of grace which marries a sinner to Christ, in which Christ comes to us in the gospel and spreads His skirt over us. As in the words of the prophet Ezekiel, "Then was the time of love. Entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." When we ask for that security and that redemption, we are seeking that rest, that security under the wings of God. There is no surer protection than under His wings, under His skirt, as it were, tonight, as we close out the year. He takes sinners, He hides them in covenant with Himself. It's beautiful, isn't it? This picture of marriage. We get a better understanding of what Paul is teaching in Ephesians 5 regarding Christ and the church. And so it's not presumption tonight. It's not presumption to stand before the Lord, to take the initiative, as it were. "Spread thy skirt over thy servant. Spread your wings over me, Lord Jesus." Are you doing that tonight, beloved? That's where security is for your soul. Finding rest under the skirt, under the wings of the greater Redeemer. It's not presumption, but it's the boldness of faith. Whether it's of weak faith or strong faith, it's the same faith that lays hold of this protection, that lays hold of the Redeemer and His work and who He is. And that's what Ruth is demonstrating. She's showing us the life of faith in verse 9. She grounds her request for marriage, for protection, for the wings of Boaz in marriage. For thou art a near kinsman. Because you are a near kinsman, because you are the Goel. She grounds her request on this one fact. The entire proposal rests on this one thing. On this one person, on the Redeemer. He is the one upon whom Naomi and Ruth have staked their hopes of redemption. There is no one else for them. Have you come to that point? That there's no one else but Christ? Isn't this the right spiritual response in light of Christ? Grounding our request for His protection, for His security, for the renewed commitment of Christ towards us in the gospel, not based on what we feel, not based on what we can bring to the table, but grounded alone in who Christ is as the Goel. You can go to Him this evening, sinner. You can plead His office of Redeemer. You can plead His person as Redeemer. You can stake your redemption, your hope of redemption upon Him, for He is perfectly suited to be the Redeemer of your soul. So we close with the same question that we started with. Where are you seeking rest and security for yourself as we close out the year? Ruth is teaching us tonight that we will not find it apart from marriage with the greater Boaz. There's no more secure relationship in all the world than to shelter securely under His wings. Christ comes to us in the gospel and the word tonight. He makes Himself available. And we can go, even now, in our hearts, and request, and ask Him to spread His wings over us. And He will do it. He will accomplish redemption. He will take sinners to Himself in marriage. We'll see that commitment tomorrow morning, Lord.